Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Gibbs the back, the snap, the spin, handoff, Gibbs, knifing his way, spins in, breaks a tackle, touchdown Detroit. 5-yard touchdown run by Jahmyr Gibbs. His second touchdown run tonight. And he vaults the Lions on top of the Buccaneers. 20-9.
Thank you to Kevin Harlan on Westwood One. Yeah, the first Jahmyr Gibbs touchdown went 78 yards. The second one, a little easier, just 5 yards at the goal line, Pearl.
It was six spin on that run, though.
That is true. Detroit Lions 24, Tampa Bay Bucks 9. Definitely a statement game for the Lions. We'll get to the World Series in just a moment, and George Springer's huge home run yesterday. But, Pearl, you thought last night was especially notable for Detroit.
Well, I mean, if you are an NFC team, you are not happy watching Detroit because Aiden Hutchinson is fully, fully back. Actually, he didn't get a sack last night. He'd been on a hot streak with sacks. He's somebody to be factored. They played Lee McNeil last night. That defensive line, whoa, all of a sudden they're good. Baker Mayfield just did not have a clean pocket. And you could see it. He did pull a magic here and there, but he just couldn't get any consistent passing game going because they were all over him. Then on the other side of the ball, they controlled the game with a run game. I thought they would take a step back without Ben Johnson as offensive coordinator. And arguably they have a little bit, but they have the formula, Maggie. I mean, that's the formula. Run the ball, play defense. We saw it last night. And then Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam Laporta. There's one play that stood out to me. It was best right tackle in football, Penny Sewell, gets down the field on a long Gibbs. I think it was a run. Must have run 40 yards at a full speed. And then he got so tired at the end, he completely missed the block. He ran right past Antoine Winfield. Troy Aikman noted it. It was actually quite funny. But they are an amazing blocking team. They get their wide receivers block, Sam Laporta blocks, their tackles block. I think I underestimated this Lions team. I mean, they are very injured on defense, so that could be the problem. That could be the Achilles heel.
That was my bigger takeaway, is you had a Tampa offense that, while they do actually have a negative point differential, but barely, they always find a way to put together a drive when they needed it. And you'd think, okay, well, here's the Baker Mayfield magic. You've got a secondary that's without Kirby Joseph and Terrion Arnold and Avonte Maddox, and then Brian Branch gets suspended, and then Rock Ya-Sin, of one of the great names in sports, gets injured after he had been playing well in the game. He had to leave the game because of some cramping and stuff like that. So you had all these backups in the secondary, and we've seen that be a disaster for the Lions. Yeah. Like, that's what's kept their opponents in it. It's what lost them the playoffs last year. And so the fact that they were this stout against Baker Mayfield, who is an MVP candidate through 6 weeks, that, to me, was the story of the game. Not so much 24 points. Okay, Lions offense, we've seen them drop 50 on people before multiple times. To me, it was how the defense stayed so stout against Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. It's again, Hutchinson is going to quietly sneak way back to the top of that defensive player of the year candidate. He somehow gets every commercial, even though no one knows what he looks like, which strikes me as kind of odd. Really, really impressive game. Jahmyr Gibbs, is there any doubt he's the most exciting player in the NFL? I mean, I'd like to hear, you could give me Bijan, but it's just every time he runs, it looks like a video game. To me, he should be one of the faces of the NFL. And I think kind of we're getting there a little bit. He's fantastic. There was a 4th-and-1 where he should have been tackled 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and he just powered his way. He's a combination of Saquon and Barry Sanders. You know how I feel about this guy. He's amazing. EJ, you picked them to win the Super Bowl, and
yep.
they're back in it. Because I think early in the season with those injuries, obviously their cornerbacks, you would think they're out. I think they're back in for sure.
Yeah. I mean, technically the Packers are on top of them in the division just because they won that first head-to-head that first week. But yeah, no, the Lions and the Chiefs, and obviously, you know, they played. But the Lions and the Chiefs look like two teams that, despite maybe a little bit of shakiness, they are right back where we thought they'd be. Now, on the flip side, I think the Baker Mayfield MVP stuff is now gone. First of all, Patrick Mahomes is now the odds-on favorite to win. I realize it's not even Halloween yet, but once he's got the front runner position, I think it's going to be really hard to take it from him. And two, you know, why Baker Mayfield, I think, was actually getting MVP like consideration was because of the last minute comebacks, no doubt. But also because he was doing it with all these guys injured. Bucky Irving's out. Chris Godwin is out. You know, and his two tackles were both out, and he was still kind of rising to the occasion. Last night, all those injuries, along with Mike Evans breaking his collarbone in the game, obviously caught up. And Emeka Buka is, you know, is compromised, and he could not lift them. And so I think that was a bright shining star, almost like Halley's Comet for Baker Mayfield's MVP candidacy, and now it's over.
That feels harsh. I got to tell you, I did call Mahomes was going to win MVP 3 weeks ago. I wanted you to find the footage because he was playing so well even when they were losing. He was doing everything. Here's the concern. He is definitely running too much. Like, he's running at a record rate for Patrick Mahomes. So we'll put that down. I tell you who to bet on now.
Emeka Ekpegbo.
I think Dak Prescott is going to be heard from in this MVP race. He's the new Baker Mayfield, the flavor of the month, as you would say. I think he is going to make a surge. They need a winning record. That's the only problem. But he's definitely playing well. I mean, he's playing better than Mahomes even. I mean, he is playing as well as anybody.
But they have to be a playoff team. You can't give the MVP to a team that's in the hunt.
Winning record. I mean, yeah, I think if they have a winning record, they have a great chance to be a playoff team. So, but it feels like, and then you mentioned another candidate, maybe, Drake May keeps playing this efficiently. Maybe he gets into the MVP race. So the MVP race has a flavor of the month. Yes, Baker was definitely the MVP of September. It's a long way till December. I hear what you're saying about Mahomes has such a lead, but you never know. There's a lot. It's like the Heisman. There's a lot of football left.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I know the crowd was in a super frenzy last night for the Lions.
Oh, my God. They were outrageous.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there were some, you know, calls that I thought went against Tampa that maybe could have made that game a lot more interesting, including a fight for a catch between the defender Arthur Millett from the Lions and the tight end Cade Otton for the Bucks that, to me, looked like 50-50. In my whole life, 50-50, the tie goes to the wide receiver. Instead, they called an interception. That was the second turnover of the half because Sterling Shepard got a ball punched out in the first half as well. And then the sort of towards the beginning of the fourth quarter, just as we're getting going with the fourth quarter, again, Cade Otton, the tight end, involved in a controversial play. Bucks are going for it on a 4th-and-4. Cade Otton's ruled a catch, a fumble recovered by Tampa, but then the referee comes on and says, quote, after giving it a second look, end quote. So we get another annoying term in our life. It turns out that he was short of the first down by about 1/100th of a millimeter. They never brought out the Hawkeye. They never brought out the virtual measurement. It was so weird, and it would have kept a drive alive for Tampa at a crucial time in the beginning of the fourth.
What happened to the Hawkeye?
But was that what was controversial about that?
They gave him the first down, and then they reviewed it after taking a second look, and it was not clear and obvious. That's the thing about football.
Campbell challenged it, and it was short.
But was it clear and obvious, Pearl, from what the call was on the field?
I mean, I thought he was short. I mean, I think he was short. I don't think it was that egregious a mistake. The process was, I don't know why they called that a fumble. That was obviously down. But I think the process was okay, though. It wasn't like the play that we keep talking about where they came out of nowhere with a replay assist on Jared Goff being illegally for...
That was last week.
Yeah.
Not last week.
This one, at least, like, the process was fine. He challenged the spot, and they said he was short, and he technically was.
After giving it a second look. Okay.
But it was a challenge. I mean, what do you...
But where's the Hawkeye? Like, they have
this technology.
The Hawkeye
is fake anyway, because the Hawkeye can't determine when the guy's knee is down.
listen, there's supposed to be that chip in the ball that's supposed to help us. So why does the Hawkeye, why do they ever use it?
He had to get, I think, to the 41, and he got to the 40.99.
Which we wouldn't know unless they zoomed in like hyper into the every pixel.
They caught a fumble on the field. The guy had been down for 3 seconds when he lost the ball. What do they know?
I know. Clearly nothing. Last night was frustrating if you're a Bucs fan, but you don't really have a leg to stand on because the offense was doing a whole lot of nothing. Okay. There was another game last night, and it was a doozy. Congratulations to the Toronto Blue Jays, back in the World Series for the first time since 1993. They went back-to-back in 92 and 93. Perloff remembers it well. And this was massive. I mean, these are the home runs, Pearl, that we remember forever, especially in Toronto. Now, we don't know what's going to happen between this David and Goliath matchup between the Dodgers and now the Toronto Blue Jays. But George Springer was the hero. His team was down 3-1, two on, one out. They decide to switch pitchers and make a pitching change and also had first base open, decide to pitch to him. I'm not saying they grooved one down the middle, but 97 down the middle, George Springer is going to turn on that, and he did, and it was an epic moment.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to go David versus Goliath. Definitely Dodgers at the Goliath. Do we consider this Blue Jays team a David?
I do. I mean, with a paltry $280 million payroll, Pearl, how does anyone even... I'm surprised they've been bats and batting gloves. No, listen, Blue Jays are also a thing. They were in first place for a lot of the year. Yeah. Manny knows this because he watched the Yankees lose their position in the AL East to the Blue Jays, and then they got beat in the World Series, in the ALDS, excuse me. But this is a lot of guys who were kind of given up on.
Yeah, journeyman for sure.
Yeah, for every Vlad Guerrero and George Springer, you know, you've got the dudes who are coming through at the bottom of the lineup. And that's where we go to Rich, who's in California, wants to talk about the contribution from the lesser-known guys on the Toronto Blue Jays. What's up, Rich? How are you?
Well, it was a fun game to watch. Congratulations to the Toronto Raptors who won the ALCS. Now you get to play the Dodgers.
Close.
Good luck. No, I think 5 through 9 proves that they were much better than Seattle was. Their batting averages were in the 300s. And to be perfectly honest with you, they set them up for the Springers and the Vlad Guerreros. Do they have enough horsepower to take on the Dodgers? I don't know, but they are the best at doing the fundamental things that win ball games in the American League. So,
Rich, you are right. What's going on there? Why is it so
loud? Road.
Okay.
Bad road.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. Well, stay safe, and thank you for the phone call.
Yeah, you know what? The Phillies 5-9 was pretty good until Blake Snell and Tyler Glasnow got out on the mound. So we'll see if the Dodgers pitch like this, they're unbeatable.
I'll agree with you.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, if they get this much shutout innings,
if they get this much starting pitching going so deep, they're unbeatable. But it does bring a good point. I mean, the Blue Jays lineup can get to you. This is going to be great. This is a wonderful matchup.
You're in on it.
I'm a massive Blue Jays fan. You didn't know that about me? I've been talking about the catcher. How long, Manny?
For about 2.5 weeks.
Yes. Facts.
That's eternity in pro level.
I mean, I can't believe it. I told him, why is this big, angry toddler up there
raking? 5'8", 245 pounds from Los Mochis, Sinaloa in Mexico.
Yeah, I have a good buddy from Toronto who's been trying to get me on the team, and I'm in now. I was into the... I was fully prepared to be all in on the Mariners as well. I mean, come on. They got tridents and jackets and there's all sorts of fun stuff going on here. The Dodgers are relatively boring compared to these teams.
Did you throw a trident?
Yeah, I don't think the Dodgers have do they have a home run thing? No. We'd know.
It's deferred. It comes later in the year.
Do we have... We'll find out in 10 years. That's a good line, considering Shohei Ohtani's not getting all of his money until the year 2040. Did we get any more responses on our fun question? And this is inspired by Robin Lopez, of all people, the basketball player, who's a massive Mariners fan and had a shrine set up last night in a hotel in Toronto, the one that overlooks the Rogers Center. That's when you want to be a rich person, right?
Oh, that place is so, it's my dream.
But just it's his team. He's got all the money in the world. He can afford to drop a ludicrous amount on this and like have no regrets whatsoever. That's a cool thing about being rich. Doesn't make you happier, makes your life easier. And so he's got this whole jersey shrine of all these Mariner jerseys. Jay Buhner, Edgar Martinez. He's got A-Rod. And then Lou Piniella, the manager. Never seen a manager jersey actually worn by a fan.
Huh.
So, EJ, we put it out on social. If there was a manager's jersey you would buy, what would it be?
So we put it as a poll first, and 11% said yes, they would. 88% said no. But the people that did say they would, they one person said Bobby Valentine Mets jersey, but I'm getting the fake glasses and mustache too.
Another
person
costume.
Said Dusty Baker Giants jersey, and then we had two Sparky Andersons.
Yeah.
Okay.
Robin Lopez, I've Googled why is he a Mariners fan, came up with nothing.
He played random.
He's from California, played on 10 NBA teams. In the break, EJ, I'll see how many of them you can name without looking it up.
Oh, okay. I think I'd be pretty good at that.
One of them's the Knicks.
I mean, you got 10 out of 30 teams.
Yeah, I mean, shooting fish in a barrel.
I mean,
who didn't he play for? Yeah. That'd be easier.
Hornets might be on there.
Maggie and I were wondering, was he like Kevin Durant, where he was alive when the NBA was in Seattle?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was alive.
Alive in the NBA.
Was he in the league? Was he active?
Yeah, he was active for, I think, 1 year.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Okay. But I'm not sure about that.
The other question, and maybe this would be a good question for Robin Lopez, noted Mariners fan, do you consider the Mariners a hard luck franchise? That's my theory. Last night was a brutal way to lose, not just the game where you were up 3-1, some tactical issues that now will be second guessed for till the end of time, but you were up 2-0 in the series and then you were up 3-2 in the series.
So far, 57% of people say yes, they consider the Mariners a hard luck franchise.
Thank you. I don't know why you guys don't see it. You think that they have good vibes today? This is a team that's almost been a perennial underachiever. They've had so many great players, Hall of Fame players, and never went to the World Series.
Right, but you compare them to the Browns and like the Clippers, the Bengals, the Jets.
Well, okay, maybe that's like the most like egregious end of the spectrum when you're talking about the Browns and the Jets and stuff. But at one point, the Mariners did have the longest playoff drought in North American team history. It's not like they're not wading in those waters.
But I think there's a distinction. There's hard luck, which the Mariners are, but then there's pure and total utter incompetence, which I think all those other franchises are. I don't think it's the, you know, I'm going to let the Mariners off the hook. They're not like the Jets who have the owner's son making decisions. Like, as far as I know, like they're not ever caught up in scandal. That's why I feel like they have more positive vibes. And kind of everyone loves the Mariners. The Mariners were the one team I had to go see live. When Griffey was there, it was just like, oh, I got to go see the Mariners. They were amazing. So
yes, and that team never even got to the World Series. I know baseball is weird, but
yeah,
again, does it need to be, you know, the embarrassment level of the Browns who like accidentally put like porn up on the wall because they had a hashtag that nobody thought to run by the interns or whatever. And it doesn't have to be that level of awful to still be a hard luck franchise that feels completely snake bitten and at times poorly run. I mean, you don't make the playoffs for that long. You are a poorly run franchise. Now they're turning that around now.
Yeah, I mean, if you say so, but still, it's like we know the Clippers controversies. We know for years the things that the Cincinnati Bengals did. There's just different classes of perennial losers. And by the way, the Mariners, you will say, yes, they were up 3-1 in the seventh inning, but you have to celebrate this season at some point because Raleigh was not expected. And I got to look up this Browns porn story. Never heard that one.
Yeah, it's porn. I can't.
Of all the things that happened to the Browns, that's not what I expected.
I was thinking about trying to Google this, but I thought that's probably a bad idea on the work computer.
Yeah, don't do that on the work computer.
The interns and the hashtags, this sounds like an amazing story.
Penix looks really good. No, wait, Mandy, don't empty the clip yet. Hold on. There was, I'm not going to remember the hashtag, but it was, oh gosh.
Huh.
What was the hashtag?
They've had 35 quarterbacks. All of them were losers.
All right. I'll look at it on my phone.
Just be careful on your work. Okay. Yeah, don't do it on your work.
I can't remember what the stupid hashtag was. I'll find it. Keith is in California. Good morning, Keith. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
We're great. What's up?
Hey, just real quick, I wanted to say if I could buy any manager jersey, I would get a Jim Leland jersey for what he meant to the Tigers. Yeah.
Comes with a pack of smokes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Being a Lions fan, though, last night felt like being a Chiefs fan. We all got the important calls, and it really made it hard for the Bucks to get back in the game. I don't know if I like it, guys. We're going to get a lot of flack for that. What do you guys think?
Keith, I relate because as an Eagles fan, everyone's like, you're getting away with all this murder on false starts on tush pushes. I'm not comfortable with that. I'd rather they call it the right way than get an easy call. You don't want to be like, that is the one thing in today's NFL that people do not like. They don't like the Chiefs. They don't like the tush push. And last night, Pat McAfee, I think, went on X and said, the Lions are the new Chiefs. I thought the calls were 50-50 calls.
Listen. Like,
they were not the worst calls I've ever seen. I mean, there were 50 worst calls on Sunday.
Listen, you never have to apologize for getting calls from the ref, Keith or anyone else. You are a Lions fan. Do you realize what the universe owes you? They do.
You'll never see it coming.
You had a winless season. Never, ever apologize for getting a call
a kneecap
here
off.
Or there. And I thought both calls were terrible and went against the Bucks. They should be livid about this. Never apologize. You are what you are right now. You're in an era where the refs are giving you a little home cooking. Take it. Don't feel bad about it.
Well, here's the thing. They would have killed the Bucks without those calls. I mean, the Bucks just had no one to throw to. That game was a W no matter what the officials did.
All right, we're asking, are the Mariners a hard luck franchise? And I did compare it to the Browns, but it was like the Browns in that same, waiting in those same waters. Nothing will be as bad as the Browns. Can I just acknowledge that?
No, but they're not waiting in the same orders because the Browns brought it all upon themselves. That's the key distinction.
Relegate now, the Cleveland Browns to the NCAA.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You mentioned scandal-ridden bad teams.
Okay,
The Mariners are fun. You know, it's a Cal Raleigh. You know, get into the do it.
Yes, yes. I'm talking about hard luck franchises and ones who have underachieved. That's what I meant. Well, now, that got us down a rabbit hole of Browns scandals.
But have they really underachieved in the baseball world where payrolls aren't fair necessarily, where the Browns are in a parity league and they haven't done anything? The Jets have all the money on earth. They haven't done anything. Have the Mariners underachieved in that way? I would say not as clearly as the NFL teams.
888-710-4ISN. Now, EJ has found the hashtag that the Browns used, and this, they wanted to get engagement with fans on social media. They put out a hashtag. No one realized that it also was a hashtag that associates with some kind of porn something.
A little too much nipple.
And they projected it up on one of the walls inside Berea, inside their headquarters. And it was up for 20 minutes. What
you
was
stare at women who are breastfeeding?
Oh, yeah, big
you
time.
You creep. What?
Yeah, so they didn't actually post the tweet, but they searched the hashtag and projected it on a giant wall at the facility.
Got it.
And they thought that people would be using the hashtag DP for dog pound. Turns out
it was something else.
It was something, obviously something else.
Yeah.
And for 20 minutes on the headquarters wall, there was an array of porn, according to Seth Wickersham. That's how he writes it in this article. And it was triggered an array of porn to be broadcasted onto a wall for the entire office to see for more than 20 minutes until a tech employee killed the feed.
An array of porn.
Why did they leave it up for 20 minutes?
No one knew where the off button was. I don't know.
Maybe somebody did know where the off button was. But they were like, I'm having some fun at work today.
I don't know. 20 minutes seems like a lot of time.
Okay, so I used to work on the Dan Patrick Show, and this problem has happened to many people.
I was wondering about that hashtag DP.
Yeah, DP show, trust me, we ran into the...
I think you got to give him a D.
Yeah, we circled in the same internet waters by accident a couple times.
Yeah, sorry if there's any kids in the car, but so we won't spell it out any more than we already did, but yeah.
But DP for dog pound? There's a Cleveland, because they're idiots.
I hate to be an ageist here, but that feels like an older person maybe thinking they do hashtag DP probably for dog pound.
Yeah.
And being like, what? No, nobody would do that.
Yeah, I mean, Cleveland's got a million things.
This is why I said you didn't run it by the interns.
Yeah.
Definitely.
This is why one of the many reasons you want young people working in your offices.
How about a guy who can fill two different holes? I mean,
I've been told by social media professionals that's insulting, by the way. They call them interns. They get very mad about that.
But what if they're literally interns?
Then that's one thing. But yeah. The assumption that you have to run it by interns when they're like, oh, we have full careers now. Like,
oh,
so
yeah.
Like, that's like a big taboo thing.
Yeah. I did not know you were a DP fan.
888-710-4ISN.
We've actually seen a movie where we know exactly how the structure of the Browns work. There was an intern, I'll say the word, who was helping Sonny Weaver on draft day, came out of nowhere with a new computer. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
So I think the Brown, like, that is a rare team where we know exactly how they operate via Kevin Costner.
Lucky
I
us.
I need a high young guy.
Yeah, 888-710-4ISN.
Browns have so many more problems beyond what you just said. I mean, their owner, let's not even start, Jimmy Haslam.
He's a trip. 888-710-4ISN. Okay, do you consider the Mariners a hard luck franchise? That's where this came from. They lost last night in a Game 7 to Toronto, and early matchup. Dodgers, Blue Jays. Coming up next hour, Harold Reynolds is going to break it down with us. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, look at this. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. We got someone on the phone line, Maggie, we haven't heard from in a little while. That means I have to go to NHL.com and look up my hockey stories, because our friend Sully is my main source in the NHL. Always has hockey stories. By the way, Brad Marchand returning to Boston first time. Sully, are you impressed with my puck knowledge?
Buddy, you are the insider. When I think puck insiders, first person I think of is McLovin. Not Elliot Friedman, nobody else. Andrew McLovin Perloff. What's happening, my friend Perloff and the fabulous Maggie and EJ? Yeah. Miss you guys.
I know.
Bogus is here too. Say hi to Bogus.
Hey, Bogus. Sorry, buddy. My bad. I apologize.
And Manny, you know, here's the deal, Sully, is you and I became friends at a time. So you were Perloff's friends first, and now you're my friend. And we love the fact that we get to hang out with you all over the country, and it's just been a blessing in our lives. But you don't understand. I met you, you diehard Patriots fan named Sully from Boston. I met you at a time when the Bills were routinely kicking the Patriots' butts. Our friendship is going to change now that you have Drake May. I can't really be fraternizing with you anymore because you are now on my corner, and I don't love it. So, you know, we have to kiss our friendship goodbye. These are just the kinds of decisions we have to make.
Are you breaking up with me, Maggie?
Yep, it's over. Tell Schmoopy we're out.
but that's the thing. It's like the Bills were a wagon, and all of a sudden, Maggie, I've had to watch horrible football for 5 years.
Mm.
I enjoy watching Sunday football again.
Wow.
I really thoroughly enjoy 4 hours.
5 years. Yes. Oh, man, it must have been so hard.
Oh, it's such a long time. Such a long time. Hey, by the way, so the fabulous Schmoopy goes to San Jose Monday through Thursday, and her office is 1.5 miles from Levi Stadium. So I'm putting in an early request for Media Week hangs. Do we get the band back together?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I mean, yeah. But does it matter, if Sully, if the Bills beat the Patriots in the AFC title game? Is that going to be an issue?
No.
Okay.
No. I mean, if they can make the AFC championship, Jay McLovin, I'll be a very happy individual.
All right. By the way,
let's focus on the positive.
Tough one for Schmoopy this weekend. I know you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, Holy I've never war, baby. Seen such more. She is so angry. She doesn't hate any team more than she hates BYU. Yeah. The Holy War is legit.
Yeah. Schmoopy, Sully's wife, of course, went to Utah. That was, I thought you guys might have flown out. Did you go to that game?
We did not. No, okay. Because she travels so much and then I'm on my way. So one of the reasons I'm up so early, other than I miss you guys and I wanted to call in, I'm going to see our boy Monty for a couple of days.
Nice. Say what's up for me.
I will. And I'm thoroughly glad I got to hear your voices. I really miss you guys, but getting up at 4 a.m. in Las Vegas is way too early.
That's pretty weak, dude. 4 a.m. is not that early. In Vegas, you should still be up.
Yeah, me? No, those days are long gone. Maggie, are we going to be able to talk smack to each other for the next Bills-Patriots game? Should I call in that week, or what are we going
to
do?
No, Sully, you're dead to me. Thank you. Have a safe flight.
Oh, damn.
I'm just kidding. Wow. I have help on him.
So competitive.
No, I love it. Sully's the best. I had to do that for effect. Sully, you're the man. No, I can't be friends with him anymore. This was like this. Our relationship was contingent on the fact that his team kicked my team's butt for 20 years, but we didn't know each other then. So my team was then kicking his team's butt, and, like, I could allow it. What? If Boston's going to be insufferable again, then I can't really go down this path.
I mean, show some mercy. He went through 5 unbearable seasons.
I know. EJ's team hasn't made the playoffs in 2 decades.
I was trying to think of the sum of money I would spend to only have to do 5 years of Jets suffering, and I came to
$5,000. 5 of them.
Fair number.
You put a number on it.
I think I would save up for a year. So it's 1 year of suffering. So it'd be 6. I'd save up for a year. But then that would be like whatever I'm doing for like this wedding or this honeymoon, that I'd have to wait. I'd save Rest up for peace. A year so I could spend this $5,000 on just only 5 years of just suffering. Then I'd get Super Bowls and Tom Brady. Yeah, I'll do that.
Guys, also, how long have I not been here? The Bills are dead?
Dude, you
have your boys fight back.
Bogus, you've been gone for like a month, brother.
Like a bad 10 days, right. And Maggie's already ceding the East back to the Patriots.
I don't know if I can make a bet yet on this, but the Patriots have losing the playoffs after. Look at who they've beaten. It's like a comical schedule.
Got their schedule?
Yeah, I mean, they just beat Tennessee. Come on. The week before, they edged New Orleans. They beat the Bills, but I don't know what happened in that Bills game. The Bills were like kind of dying to lose a game. They beat Carolina, and they beat Miami in a close game that they should have actually probably lost. This is not a great team, by the way. This is a scheduled team. Every year we get a bunch of them in the NFL, and that's who the Patriots are. Though next year I'd be very, very scared.
I just love this that Perloff says the Bills were dying to lose a game 3 weeks ago. They're going undefeated, Max.
That was a bit.
I don't know why they lost that game.
Let's get to Bogus, who's got the latest and greatest. Yes, Sully, if you're still listening, didn't mean to hang up on you.
Well, you did.
Yeah.
All right, maybe a little. What do you got, folks?
At least Seattle has the Seahawks. The Kraken lost in Philadelphia last night 5-2.
Oh, no.
And the Mariners, 4-3 losers in Toronto in Game 7 of the ALCS.
Mariners have relied on magic all season long. Do they have any left? Here's the stretch. And the 3-2 on the way. Swing and a miss. Strike 3. The ball game is over, and the Toronto Blue Jays are going to the World Series to take on the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Rick Riz on Mariners Radio, the magic running out in Canada, keeping the Mariners as the only current franchise without a World Series appearance. They won the first 2 games of the series in Toronto, then brought a 3-2 lead back to town. They led 3-1 last night until George Springer's 3-run bomb bottom 7.
Almost like he knew what was coming.
Manager Dan Wilson had all-star righty Brian Wu just back from injury on the mound. He could have left him in there or went to his all-star closer Andres Munoz to face Springer, but Wilson chose to go to reliever Edward Bizzardo instead.
You make your decisions, and sometimes... You have to live and die with it. And I think, again, the way Zardo has thrown the ball all season long, we were comfortable with where we were. And it just didn't go our way.
Wasn't that Brian Wu's first appearance in like a month because of
injury? Correct.
Ugh.
Yeah. The Jays can keep partying today. Game 1 of the World Series, not until Friday night, with the Dodgers coming to town. Star shortstop Bo Bichette says he'll be ready for the Fall Classic after missing more than a month with a knee injury.
Forgot about that guy.
Those Seahawks. Well,
what do you do? Do you throw him back in?
You do.
Yeah, you do. What are you going to have, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa at shortstop?
I don't know.
He's playing second base, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Move him in as a second base and move Bichette back.
Yeah, yeah.
Manny's still correct.
Yeah.
Later IKF.
It's actually more about just getting, it's not even really the fielding that I'm worried about. It's just how's this timing at the plate going to be?
Yeah, still better than IKF.
Whatever.
Yeah, yeah, I don't love throwing the guy in though who hasn't played in a long time.
Although
in the championship.
Schwarber had an all-time moment in the World Series where he didn't play for most of the year and then came back in the World Series and was a factor.
Yeah, but he's Kyle Schwarber. He's almost like a softball player. I feel like he just goes up there and just smacks home runs. I just think about Jameer Nelson being thrown in the starting lineup of an NBA Finals.
Nelson.
After not playing for like 3 months. There are, there are some, there, a lot of times that doesn't go well.
But right, there's no rhyme or reason for baseball. I mean, Shohei Ohtani struck out 19 times in his first five baseball.
Still won NLCS
yeah.
MVP.
I don't think you can predict how a guy is going to be that reliably. I mean, because guys are going to get, who knows who's going to get hot or cold in this series? You have no idea. The Dodgers, how'd they shut down the Brewers? That made no sense whatsoever. Sorry. My rant that baseball postseason is random. Billy Beane told me that. Moneyball. You should read it, folks.
I have no comment.
Yeah, actually, Brad Pitt.
I just see the movie. You got
it. The great thing is, it's right in front of us.
Those Seahawks, by the way, they weren't great last night. They gave the ball away four times, but they still beat the Texans late last night, 27-19, keeping pace with the Niners and Rams atop the NFC West. Jackson, Smith, and Jigba caught eight passes, 123 yards and a TD, while Zach Charbonnet scored twice on the ground, but neither was as cool as this.
From right to left, at the 22, shot comes up, hand off to Gibbs up the middle, the 25, the 30, a foot race to the 40, and the numbers the 50, far side 40, foot race with Winfield, far side 30, 20, 10, sideline 5, touchdown! The Lions have scored on a touchdown run by Jahmyr Gibbs, streaking for 78 yards.
With That's Kevin electric. Harlan on the call for Westwood One, Gibbs ran for 136, scoring twice, adding 82 receiving yards. His Lions were sloppy like the Seahawks, but they downed the Bucs 24-9 behind their defense. Tampa also losing Mike Evans to a broken collarbone. He'll miss most of the rest of the regular season. And finally, things are going pretty well for 6-1 Texas Tech football, except that their fans keep throwing tortillas on the field at the opening kickoff. It is like a tradition that dates back to the 1990s, but it is also newly illegal under Big 12 rules, carrying a $100,000 fine. A.D. Kirby Hokut sounded defiant yesterday.
We know that as Red Raiders, no one tells us what to do.
Oh.
We make our own decisions.
Except he was about to tell them what to do. Here's his decision. No more throwing tortillas. No more fines. No more 15-yard penalties. If you get them through security and throw them and get caught, you lose your ticket privileges for Texas Tech sports for the rest of this academic
year. As a tortilla aficionado, this is good. Stop wasting your tortillas. Put them in a delicious taco and just eat them.
Listen, he might as well have been winking at the camera. Like, I think this was, all right, I got to say this for the powers of me. It's like, guys, don't throw the tortillas, okay? Seriously, we're serious this time.
Wink, 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 wink.
But yeah, he had been talking tough this whole time. Like, when they set the rule in the summer, he was like, we're going to do what we want. And now he's like, here's what we're going to do, guys.
Yeah, folks, but like, you're a parent. Like, sometimes you got to...
No, I know.
You got to be the bad guy a little bit.
Oh, so no, I think this
I'm like, Lucas, stop telling fart jokes. Don't do that. It's not right. Meanwhile, Lucas, I'm laughing my butt off.
Right. Keep telling the fart jokes. This actually, I thought the headline here was him giving up the tough guy act, and for some reason, they don't want to pay $100,000 fines at every home game.
The penalties are probably worse than the fines, I would assume.
The 15-yard penalties,
I mean, the fine, they can eat. But the penalties can actually hurt them in a game, I would think.
Can't eat those tortillas anymore, though.
Random tortilla question, Manny. Yeah, go ahead. Flour or corn, which is better?
I don't discriminate.
Okay. I never know. When they ask me, if they're at a restaurant, if they ask me, I have no idea what to say.
I don't discriminate. I don't care.
I feel like I get like shamed if you like flour.
I think so, too. You're supposed to like corn. The corn is the authentic.
Yeah, corn is the authentic. Corn is what you will get, you know, if you buy a pack. If you go to Mexico or you get a pack of tortillas. But, yeah, I mean, I don't discriminate. I love flour and corn, and I love it all together.
Need a minute?
Which is more aerodynamic is the question, too. I feel like the flour would fly better in the air at a college football game.
Indubitably. Indubitably.
I mean, you can't injure someone with the corn because it's got a little rough edges.
You throw sandpaper to it?
Yeah.
Get you in the eye. Could be out. But also,
corn tortillas crumble a little easier than flour. That's a fact.
That's why you got to get the good tortillas, bro.
Yeah. But if you're throwing them, I'm talking about at Texas Tech.
I think flour would be cheaper too. So you're like fiscally responsible by going flour to buy them in bulk to throw them.
Wait, somebody's grandmother didn't make all these?
I don't think
little
so.
Little old lady?
No.
My abuelita just making tortillas over
exactly.
there.
They have metal detectors as you come in. Is there any kind of flour or corn detector? What do you have them taped to your body? Like tortillas taped all around?
Midnight Express?
Yes.
The guy's got all the hash taped to his body?
I don't want to know where that tortilla has been.
could we double dip with Maggie and have her sneak tortillas into the garden? Oh my God. What she gets caught for first.
Oh, I thought you were going to say in my shoes.
No.
My big, gigantic feet.
Yeah, there we go. We have strategy. I don't know.
Work.
It's going to be harder to get Maggie into the garden than get the tortillas in her shoes.
All right. Let's leave it there. Thank you, folks. We'll talk to you next hour. Coming up, Perloff and I have to talk about
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Steve Sarkisian, and we'll do it next. Welcome back. Maggie and Perloff show. We get back to the Monday night games and the big, big home run by George Springer to launch the Toronto Blue Jays back into the World Series. They'll face the Dodgers, but Pearl, something that caught our attention yesterday was Steve Sarkisian. So they're fresh off of a win, albeit a nail biter. Texas went to overtime with Kentucky, but did escape with a win. And Sark was asked about whether or not he'd ever give up play calling duties because, like, the whole team kind of needs a little bit more attention.
Yeah.
And Sark brushed it off, basically saying, no, the reason I was brought to Texas is because of my ability to call a game.
Well, I wouldn't say the whole team needed more attention. It's because the offense stinks. Like, I think they're saying, let somebody else try these play calls. I just see 80th in offense overall, and that's generous. They feel even worse. But here's the thing. We've seen the Sark offense. Sark is right. Remember Alabama? Oh, my God. Everybody was running wide open. The run plays were amazingly designed. This has to be a personnel issue because we know Sark can play calls. I mean, call. he can play calls like we can play calls. But yeah. We know Sark can design an offense. We've seen it multiple times. So this has to be something else. I think a lot of people are pointing to the quarterback. I'm personally pointing to the offensive line. They are not executing the play calls. So that, to me, it's very obvious.
So I think a couple things. I think the offense has a lot of issues. Offensive line is definitely one of them. But even Sark will tell you that their running backs have had issues, the wide receivers have had issues, blocking, and also the Arch, basically, like the center calls out the protections. Mm-hmm. But Arch, according to Sark yesterday, has also, like, when they want to change the protection, they want to change anything about, you know, anything at the line of scrimmage. There have been times when Arch has not been able to execute mm-hmm. that. So there's a lot of things going wrong with the offense. The offense was between third down and one mm-hmm. and third down and six, like anything short yardage, basically. Third down, short yardage. The offense was 1 for 7 on the short yardage. Yeah. Like, that to me also is a function kind of Arch in a lot of ways, because those are more layups. Like, Sark's talked about this yesterday as well, that the layups, the easy ones, actually have to be executed well. And he was talking about Arch, like, you can't just take a sigh of relief because you get an easy play. Like, oh, I get this, I recognize it. You can't get lazy about firing a pass in, making sure you're not late, making sure your feet aren't set. This is all the stuff he's saying. He said that. So to me, I think that maybe there needs to be like a bigger, you know, kind of game management thing happening with Sark as opposed to calling the plays.
But I don't understand. It's 4th and 1 or 3rd and 1 and they run the ball on the line and get stuffed. Why is that? How is that a coach?
Well, he's talking about more about Arch with those easy throws that should be layup throws on 3rd and short.
Oh, okay. I thought he was talking about, because they failed again. The story against Kentucky was they couldn't get a yard
yep.
a million times. And that's like the thing. He was asked 2 weeks ago about the offensive line, and he said, he just raised his hand and said, I don't know what to tell you. He basically said, you're going to have to wait till next year on the offensive line. I mean,
is that an acceptable answer by someone who's an offensive guru?
He didn't
guru?
Say that, but that's what everyone said. Like, he's like, we're just trying to coach them up, but they're too young. This is a GM problem. Like, they messed this up in a major, major way.
Let's hear from Sark. What do you have to say about relinquishing play calling duties?
Because that's why I got hired. I was a really good offensive coordinator. So I believe in what we're able to do. You know, every year we have to continually evolve, and there's years we're going to be better on offense than we are on defense. There's going to be years we're better on defense than we are on offense, you know.
All right, more from Sark about not wanting to give up play calling duties.
If I was the best outside sales guy and then I had a startup company, surely I'm going to go to the sales meetings if I'm trying to sell something, right? And so if that's one of your strengths, I'm always going to tap into the strength that I have. And I think, being a play caller on offense is one of my strengths.
I mean, that's fine. But again, you're not just the offensive coordinator of a football program now. Mm-hmm. Like, Pearl, you want to blame it on the general manager who's not some big name, I think Sark is also has to wear that. Like, if he's the one who thought that they could coach up these tackles and not have to go into the portal to get better players, then he's got to wear it too. Like, he's the CEO of the whole program, not just there to call plays.
I'll totally give you that. But I just don't think it's a strategy thing where necessarily, like, Sark's lost his ability to call plays. And listen, I think Arch has a bit of the yips because he's under so much pressure and won. And I think maybe I will admit the outside pressure got to Arch, although he did play very well against Oklahoma. He did play well against Kentucky, but he was under it, man. He was just like hike, and then there were six guys on top of him in 2 seconds.
Isn't there a world where Arch and Sark maybe split after this season? Now, Arch is not saying that. I'm just wondering, like, if this is causing this amount of trouble, and let's say it's not all the offensive line, maybe there's like a thing here that's not meshing. I mean, we're more than halfway through the season.
Well, I mean, they had 28 carries for 47 yards. This is the real nightmare is a run game. That is I'm sure they're shaking their heads. Arch has seen it. He had two amazing games last year when the team was there. You know, they were against bad competition, but I think he's seen what Sark's offense can be. So I'd be surprised if they broke up, but heck, this is not going well offensively. The defense looked amazing on Saturday.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Should Sark consider giving up play calling duties? That's on the table for you. Next, we get back to Monday Night Football at a doubleheader, and George Springer is a postseason hero again.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.